All right, welcome back to another episode of the Justify Your Existence podcast. I'm your host, Brendan Farrell, and today, I guess we're finally back. It's been a bit. You and I have been in and out of town, and kind of once Spaceball was over, it was like, well, it wasn't super high up on my priorities because it was like, there's just nothing going on, you know. But I mean, it's not like there's anything going on right now, but it's been long enough that it's like, well, let's pull something together.
And so. Yeah, and that's we have enough to work with right now, and that's what you will be introducing us to today.
Yes, sorry, I forgot to introduce you. This is James Murphy, the Daily Journal's finest. James, how are you?
Pretty good. Trying to stay cool in this heat. I've been telling everybody that recently my apartment was converted into a cryogenic chamber, and it will probably stay that way through most halfway through football season.
Just as long as you don't pull like an Antonio Brown, it's fine.
Yeah, no. I'm never going to get into. I don't know if it's ever going to be that bad, but trying to walk a fine line here, and I think I'm doing that successfully.
Well, I'm sorry for your electric bills running that kind of cool AC, but. If it makes you happy.
It does.
But, so I kind of gave you a little homework assignment. And we have come up with, I've tasked James and myself with picking five games for both, or for each of Ole Miss and Mississippi State. That will sort of define their season. I don't think these are necessarily the best games, though there's probably a lot of correlation between those two. But these are just the games that I'm like, I think this is really like what will define these seasons, or at the very least, I think this is what we will, these are the games I think will sort of be the barometer for all these teams. So. Which one do you want to roll with first?
Why don't we get Mississippi State going? Let's start with that one.
Yeah, Mississippi State is a tough case because I think outside of Oklahoma, I think they have the hardest schedule in the SEC. It's something like that. Mostly because, and I always just find it funny whenever the math works out like this, partially, it's because Mississippi State does not have the benefit of playing itself, you know?
Right, yeah.
You know, everybody else with State on their schedule gets dinged a little on the strength of schedule. State doesn't have that luxury, I guess. But, I guess we should just ask you to share your list.
So what I have done for Mississippi State, and really both teams, is I have not only selected five games, but I've divided those games into two categories, and they differ depending on which team we're talking about. So for Mississippi State, those games are in the categories "Who Are They?" and "Measuring Stick," where, you know, in terms of "Who Are They?", pretty much straightforward in that it is a game. They are games where we will learn what Mississippi State is and what to expect of them. And Measuring Stick is kind of a game against a really elite team, if not close to it, that kind of shows Mississippi State how far they have to go in order to get to where they feel like they need to be as a program. So under the "Who Are They?" category, I am going with at Southern Miss on August 30th and at Arkansas on November 1st. It's not every day that an SEC team has to hit the road to start their season, especially not pretty much in-state to make the, 2.5-hour drive south to Hattiesburg.
Something like that.
And it might be low-hanging fruit because first game of the year, like, hey, obviously, yeah. But, you know, I do think it'll answer a lot of questions about what to expect of them. And same kind of goes for Arkansas. You're asking them to go to a pretty formidable road environment in November against an Arkansas team that Sam Pittman really got going after being on the hot seat the year before. So I'm really interested to see how they handled that. And under the Measuring Stick games, I have They are all at home against elite competition, home against Texas October 25th, home against Georgia November 8th, and home against Ole Miss on November 24th. Texas and Georgia largely have the same descriptor of playoff caliber teams, probably going to be in the mix this year. Mississippi State obviously will be heavy underdogs, but again, you use those games as an opportunity to see how far you have to go and what it's going to take to get there. Ole Miss, you know, in the Egg Bowl, it's honestly just about putting up a fight. If you put up a fight, anything can happen. But yeah, Ole Miss having the expectations they do, which we will get to later, kind of falls under that category. I also have an honorable mention for each. My honorable mention for Mississippi State is Northern Illinois, who last year was pretty good, and I think they'll factor into their conference this year as well.
Yeah, so you went about this in a much more optimistic way than I did. We have a lot of the same games on there. I just took a quick glance at Texas and Georgia on the schedule. I was like, I'm not even going to think about that for more than a second. So, yeah, I mean, what made you think about those two especially?
Well, again, I will drive home the point that they will be heavy underdogs in those games, and they probably get ugly early. But again, this is the second year of Jeff Lebby, and while modern college football requires programs turn around their teams quicker, I think it's a little bit different for Mississippi State given what's happened the last few years with what happened with Mike Leach, and then Zach Arnett came in and just did not look like he was ready for the job. Now you have a guy, Jeff Lebby, who has an identity as an offensive-minded guy who had a lot happen, like Shapen getting hurt and just not really much to work with roster-wise. Now he's been able to get a little bit more. But again, those questions remain, and it's going to be one of those things that takes a little bit of time, which again, feels rare in today's college football. But I feel like by facing those elite teams, you can at least set a long-term barometer of, okay, what is it going to take for us to be where they are, or at least be able to compete and hang with teams like this?
Yeah, so the way I went about this was two things. I mean, it's really just one thing with like two little subdivisions. But for me, I just went about this as like, what can Mississippi State do this year to avoid as much embarrassment as possible? Because they are clearly the bottom team in the SEC this year. And again, the schedule is brutal. Like, even by like SEC standards, like it is brutal. I think Mississippi State would much rather have Ole Miss's schedule, for example, right? So in order to do that, I came up with sort of like two things. One was to like kind of just take care of business. So I put Southern Miss on there as well, and Northern Illinois. Southern Miss because it's week one, like you said, against an in-state opponent. And I think just with the way last year went, I think you need to give some folks some hope after last year, right? And especially, it's a Southern Miss team that has a new head coach and hasn't been very good in recent history, right? Like, it's one of those things where I'm like, if they go down to Hattiesburg and lose, I don't know if you can recover from that. Like, so I just think that game really sets the tone for the year as a whole. You know, week one isn't the end all be all. It's not like you just go on a straight downwards line. You know, last year they blew the doors off Eastern Kentucky in week one, which you're supposed to do, but, and then, you know, the way that the rest of the season went.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like if they go out and lose to Southern Miss or have a little struggle win, I think you're going to have a lot of people going, oh man, here we go again. Like, I feel like hope and optimism for the season is just going to crater. And I just don't know if you can come back from that after what happened last year. And then sort of in the same situation, I have Northern Illinois, just because I'm like, look, you cannot lose to a MAC team at home 2 years in a row.
No.
you just can't let that happen. You know, I know Toledo's always pretty decent year in, year out. And Northern Illinois had that nice little win over Notre Dame last year. But I just don't. Again, that's another one of those things where I'm like, I don't know if you can come back from that. So, and again, especially with just like the way the rest of the schedule is, you know, I mean, that's your last game before the SEC slate starts. So, yeah, those are the two I'm like, if you can just take care of business in those two games, you know, maybe you set yourself up nicely for the rest of the year. And from there, I just look through the schedule. I'm like, I don't think Mississippi State is going to win a conference game. But, like, at the very least, I don't think they're a favorite in any of these. But I was scrolling through it. I'm like, look, if there's a winnable game in SEC play, it is at Arkansas. Like, I think that is their big game of SEC play, which I think we said this last year. Because, I mean, that's the fun thing. I'm putting that in air quotes about the way the SEC schedule has been set up the last 2 years. It's like, well, if you're a rebuilding school and you got stuck with a hard schedule last year, it's really tough because it's like, all right, we got through that year. What do we have? Oh, it's the same thing, but flipped.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, teams change year over year, but not that much usually. Right. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody thinks that this schedule is any easier from what it was last year. So anyway, I think we all thought this last year, and then Arkansas just put up 58 points on that Mississippi State defense, right? And that's kind of where I sat on that. And then I threw, well, obviously I have Ole Miss in there because it's, you know, it's the kind of game where nobody really cares what your record is. If you just win the last game of the regular season around here, that's kind of what really matters. And we can delve into that more. But I have that down for both teams, obviously. But mm-hmm. And then the other one I have for State is Arizona State. Not that I think that that's like a must win or anything. I'm kind of interested to see what happens with Arizona State this year because, I mean, they do return their quarterback and they kind of came from out of nowhere last year. But, you know, they graduate Cam Scataboo, who, you know, Mississippi State fans surely remember from last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you're playing a team that went to the college football playoff. I mean, you're at home this time. You're not playing some weird, you know, game that kicks off at like 11 o'clock your body time, 11 o'clock p.m. And, you know, it's not 100 degrees out, in terms of temperature at kickoff, despite it being at like 8 o'clock at night.
Don't have to deal with the dry heat.
But yeah, I was going to say, you know, I think, yeah, it's still a night game. So it's not going to be like that miserable. It's not going to be like, I'm looking at this schedule and the Southern Miss game is a noon kick. It is going to be sweltering out there, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, especially on that turf. Oof.
Yeah, hydrate for that one. But anyway, I had the Arizona State game down there because I'm just like, look, you can go out there and just hang in there. And, you know, it's your first home game of the season. You know, I'm sure that State fans will turn out for the Southern Miss game very well. But it's your first true home game of the season. Just go out there and hang in there and put up a valiant effort. I feel like you're sitting pretty.
Yeah.
Right. I think the other reason why I put this game on here was I was like, well, the Arizona State game last year was when I sort of realized, I'm like, oh, this is not good.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, we didn't know at the time that Arizona State was going to go win the Big 12 and go to the college football playoff.
Right. It was less about that and more about, oh, this Mississippi State team looks suspect.
Yeah. And they did the thing. I will always say that losing because you just cannot stop the run in the slightest is the most demoralizing way to win demoralizing way to lose a football game. Because I'm like, look, if the quarterback just torches my team for like 500 yards and five touchdowns, I will you know, sort of tip my hat and be like, you know, like nothing you can do, right? Mm-hmm. But just getting run on over and over is just embarrassing. I was, just to sort of jog my memory, I watched the highlights of the first half of that Arizona State game. And right after halftime, they show this graphic on the screen of rushing yards. This is early in the third quarter. It was 237 to -9.
Oof.
You know, I mean, it was just that kind of night. And I'm like, look, as long as that doesn't happen again, and as long as you can, I know that they came back and made like a 7-point game, but come on.
Yeah, that's tough.
You know, like, anyway, I just wanted to throw that game in there because I feel like that's just where, I feel like both games against Arizona teams the last 2 years are sort of where I've realized, oh, this is not good. And anyway, this is year three of playing an Arizona team.
Here we are again.
Yeah. So, that was my list. Any questions, comments?
Yeah, it's your point about this mind being more optimistic sure does check out. That's my biggest takeaway.
Yeah. There is, I mean, just the entire SEC slate is tough because, I mean, even, you know, we'll have to see where Texas A&M goes in year two. But, I mean, going to Kyle Field is never fun. Going to the Swamp is never fun, right? And it's just, you know, like just that run of Florida, Texas, at Arkansas, and then Georgia is tough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Especially if the first half of the season doesn't go well and you're just sitting there at like 1-7 or whatever, gearing up for another game against a big SEC program.
Right.
Yeah. No thanks. No fun.
Yeah, no.
But yeah, that was my list. And then of course the Egg Bowl.
Yeah, that one speaks for itself.
Yeah.
For Mississippi State side.
Yep. I will say at first I was like, I can't believe they put it on Black Friday again this year. But then I saw that, at least as of now, it's a noon kick on the East Coast. So the reason why I bring this up is that I hated it last year when it was on Black Friday because we have work on Black Friday. That is North half. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
you know, and if the game kicks off at, you know, 2:30 here, we're already gone by the time the game ends or whatever. So
mm-hmm.
Hopefully. You know, 11 a.m. kick means also that, like, you know, you can go to the game, maybe, hopefully, make it to a North half game afterward. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Point is, I feel like that is, especially because Mississippi State and Ole Miss are in the same general geographic part of the state. I just feel like that date is maybe not quite sacred, but it's like, that's a high school football day.
It is, but at the very least, it's like, okay, they're trying to meet more in the middle. They're not necessarily intruding on it as much as they were.
I guess. I know that people hated sort of being America's Thanksgiving dessert. You know, we had Thanksgiving dinner, we were having dessert, and we're all going to make fun of the state of Mississippi on Thanksgiving, right? I know people hated that, but or just didn't like that they're – Thanksgiving could be made or ruined by a football game.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, anyway, that's my minor tangent on putting the Egg Bowl on Black Friday. All right, you want to dig into Ole Miss for a little bit?
Sure. So my categories for Ole Miss are prove it and play-ins. Now they're a little bit more interchangeable, I will say, but I do feel like I could explain each of those sections. So for the prove it section, I have at Kentucky September 6th versus LSU September 27th and at Georgia October 18th. At Georgia speaks for itself. Yeah, they lose a lot of guys, but they're still Georgia. They've earned that name. kind of the way Alabama did for many years, where it's just if you want to prove yourself to be one of the best, you got to beat that team, especially now that you're going on the road to do it and what's going to be the right in the middle of the season. LSU and Kentucky, also very much the same description, where it's teams that you lost to last year and you can make a really good argument you absolutely shouldn't have, especially not Kentucky. Kentucky being on the road and LSU being at home. I feel like LSU Ole Miss is just always going to be always a good game, especially in recent years. But, you know, those are going to be big ones. And the play-ins, first I'll explain what I mean. I feel like the two games that I'm about to list could be college football playoff play-in games, where I feel like the winner has a really good chance to get in and the loser is going to be at a, maybe not out, but at a very big disadvantage, and that is at Oklahoma and South Carolina. Hosting South Carolina, I am all aboard the Lenore Sellers train. I think he has a great chance to win the Heisman. I think they're big on the cockaboos down there. We can cut that part out if you want.
No, we're just going to roll with it.
Cool. Anyway, yeah, South Carolina could really honestly make a lot of noise this year, and I feel like in order for Ole Miss to be able to win, they need to have somewhat of a plan for Lenore Sellers and just to be able to beat a team like South Carolina. And Oklahoma, they also have a very good quarterback in John, I believe it's Mateer. He transferred in from Washington State, and Oklahoma has the weapons. I know it didn't look like it last year, but most of them were hurt, and I think Brent Venables does a good enough job. And you know, Oklahoma, I know that Norman may not compare to the Kyle Fields, to the Ben Hill Griffins, to the Death Valleys, but, you know, it's no pushover, you know, it's nothing to sneeze at. And I do feel like Oklahoma can make a lot of noise with those. Again, both of those teams have elite quarterbacks, and in order for Ole Miss to prove that it can be a playoff team this year, I think you have to win at least one of those games, probably two, depending on how things shake out and with how competitive the SEC is. Also, my honorable mention, I know we only went with five, but my honorable mention is your Gators, November 15th. That's just kind of one of those exercise the demons kind of things. And speaking of great quarterbacks, DJ Lagway really could take a step forward, and you got to be able to not only shut him down, but also just do much better in late game situations, unlike they did last year, Ben Hill Griffin.
Yeah, so I mean, we largely have the same list. I also have Kentucky, LSU, Georgia, and South Carolina, and then I'm just double counting the Egg Bowl for both because, you know, even now, even if Ole Miss comes into that game as heavy favorites, it's like, losing that game should drop you out of CFP contention.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, maybe State comes out of nowhere and wins 6-7 games and looks formidable this year. I don't know. Maybe. I don't think that will happen. But the point is, one way or another, that game is important for both teams. So, yeah, I was also playing around with the Florida game as well. I was trying to figure out that last game because I was like, well, I'm going to count the Egg Bowl for both. So I had Kentucky, LSU, and Georgia, and I was like, Florida, South Carolina, Oklahoma, kind of playing around with all of those. I went with South Carolina because, you know, it's a sort of late season home game, you never know, but you know, decent chance that has some sort of meaning because, you know, both teams were right on the cusp of the playoff last year and didn't get in. But I mean, also both of those schools had really good pass rushes, and Ole Miss basically lost everybody on the defensive side of the ball. And I think South Carolina lost a couple of their big pass rushers from last year. So I'm kind of interested to see just where those two programs end up by the time they play each other. And I do think it's funny that both of us put down Kentucky, because I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's, you know, it's Kentucky. There's a reason why it's a big deal when Ole Miss lost to Kentucky at home last year, right? But I put Kentucky down for a few different reasons. One is that it's the first road start for Austin Simmons, which never know how that's going to go, right? You know, they start the year with Georgia State, and that's fine and dandy. I mean, it's better than playing the Citadel, which they do later in the year. Mm-hmm. But there's not much runway for Simmons to sort of get the feel of being a full-time starting quarterback at the mm-hmm. SEC level before immediately getting hit with Kentucky again. And Kentucky has this like weird thing every year where they either play somebody really hard that you're just like, I didn't expect that out of Kentucky, or they just go out and beat someone that they're not supposed to. Maybe I'm just biased because usually it's Florida. But I just feel like every year, like September, early October, Kentucky, it just goes out and plays a game that you look back on a couple months later and you're like, how did that one happen? You know, last year was Ole Miss, right?
Right.
So I don't know. Kentucky just always is a weird team. They're never great, but seemingly with Mark Stoops, they're always a pain in the butt to play against. And you can't, remember this one's at Kroger Field. So, anyway, that's the reason why I put that one down there. And then, to be honest, the home slate for Ole Miss is not great this year. But, I had to throw LSU in there because, I mean, that's, you know, Georgia was their big game last year at home. I imagine something similar will happen for LSU this year.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck getting a hotel room or an Airbnb in Oxford or the surrounding areas that week.
You'll have to book probably in the next month.
You should probably just buy a house down there.
Yeah, something in either Lafayette County or a surrounding area. It's going to be tough. Memphis, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know.
Batesville, what have you.
You can do what I did the first time I went to Ole Miss and stay here in Tupelo. And then just make the 45-minute drive. It's really not that bad.
Check out the Elvis Museum.
Yeah. So I have that one down. And I think also that game's really just going to be where we figure out, okay, is Ole Miss going to be just like decent to good, or are they going to be like contending for the CFP good? Because, I mean, that's their, you know, that's a big game for them. And, you know, I sort of feel like, you know, last year was the year they went all in. So when you go all in, the following year is where you're just sort of rebuilding or retooling. And so I feel like that's going to be the barometer for like, okay, are they actually like good, or are they just like fine, decent, mm-hmm. solid? Mm-hmm. Is this going to be like an 8-9 win season, or is this going to be like, should I start buying tickets for the college football playoff?
Right.
You know? Right. That's what I had. And then I don't really feel like we need to talk about Georgia that much. I mean, it's Georgia, man.
Speaks for itself. Yeah. It's just, again, though, Georgia has gotten to a level kind of like where Bama was, where, yeah, they've lost a lot of guys. And on paper, this looks like probably the, let's say, least strong Georgia team since, what, 2020? But still, you never want to sleep on them. And if you can go over there and pick up a win, that's big for the resume.
But, I think, was there anything else you wanted to add? Because I feel like we covered, like, I just feel like Ole Miss's schedule. I mean, it's the same thing from last year, just, you know, the games are flipped. So you're right. Sitting there, and you're like, this is doable. It's a very doable schedule. It's very, this is the SEC schedule you kind of want in a,
mm-hmm.
We think we're going to be decent to solid year.
I think we've talked about pretty much all the games and their importance, maybe except for Arkansas and Tulane, but I don't know if, I think that might be one of those things where as long as you show up and compete, you're going to be okay.
Yeah, I mean, I thought about Tulane for a little bit just because, you know, John Summerall always coaches a good team. But, you know, they got a new quarterback in there. And I mean, they were solid last year. Just not, you know, in the grand scheme of things, just not, I don't know.
They didn't overwhelm you.
Yeah, compared to the SEC slate, I'm like, eh. You know, really, I'm like, the only thing that game does is, like, please don't lose, mm-hmm. right? You know, I mean, I think it's fun that they're scheduling Washington State, but, you know, I'm not going to, regardless of how, unless they lose, I'm not going to look back at that game and be like, yeah, you know, that was just a big one for Ole Miss, you know?
Yeah.
Long live the Pac-2.
Just hanging on tight on the raft in the Northern Atlantic.
Yep,
or is it the Broken Door? I don't know. I'm trying to make a Titanic reference. Go on.
Yeah, I was like, the Atlantic, Washington State is on the opposite side.
Nah, I'm making metaphors to old movies.
Yes. Are you allowed to call Titanic old?
I don't feel like you'll get dragged through the... I don't feel like you'll get dragged through the coals for saying it's old.
I mean, I feel like we are, but I feel like if you say that to somebody older than us... I mean, it was made in 97. It was before I was born, so...
Yeah, let's go ahead and count it.
Yeah, fair enough. It's like when I see people talk about video games from my childhood as retro games now. I'm like, no, bad. Don't do that. Stop it. Or, you know, seeing like Green Day on a classic rock station. Like,
oh,
no, 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 no.
Ooh,
no, no.
My soul.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, I mean, that's just kind of where the schedules sit, I think, for both of those schools. I think we need football season to come quicker because...
Yes, we do.
This is peak summer content, isn't it?
Absolutely. Or, somewhat of an off note, we need MLB trades to happen. But that's not what you guys are here for.
Yes.
That's a bit more for personal thing. I digress.
But yeah, I don't know. Anything else you wanted to add?
That's about it. I mean, kind of a pretty clear separator as to the games to watch for Ole Miss as opposed to the ones where that are more just kind of like not quite as important. It's a pretty clear picture schedule-wise for Ole Miss.
Yeah. So, James, this is the plug section. So
it's plug time.
Feel free to... Yeah, plug anything you want.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at JS Murphy Media, where you can find all of my content and links to mine and Brendan's work at djournal.com. We will be trying to get out to games over the course of the fall, especially Mississippi State. And you can find a lot of my work there, as well as links to others at djournal sports, djournal.com.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at bferrell727. I think you mentioned everything else. So, thank you again, everyone, for listening, and have a good one.